Hi, this is Nicole Brandon with Unlimited Life, and welcome to the show. I am so excited about today's guest. Truly, when we talk about an unlimited life and what that's like and how you can break through boundaries and borders and cross every line, today's guest is the epitome of being able to live an unlimited life. And for so many months now, we've brought guests onto the show, and so many of them are revered and they're honored, and you hear me talk to people all the time, and I say, gosh, I would love to experience your work. I would love to explore your work. I would love to come see what you do, and we'll bring you on the show once I've had that experience, and we'll talk about what that was like and, you know, all of the steps and the process that I've gone through and how my life has changed in seeing what you do and how you do it. And so we've had some magical shows along that line, and I can honestly say today's guest is someone that I have experienced his work. I have seen him teach. I have seen him lead. I have personally experienced him as a mentor, as a guide, as a teacher, and truly he's one of my personal heroes. So I'm so thrilled because I want to bring you guests from my heart that I know can make a difference in your life. I know that can make a change. And I know that when you are done working with him, when that you're finished listening to him, when you explore his work, that your life is better. The quality of your life is better. And that everything that you do is enhanced in process of that. And so today's guest, I am so honored and so blessed and so gifted to say, is Dr. Kevin Ross Emery. He is sought after as a leader, an innovator, an author, a teacher, a synergetic catalyst. He is a speaker and an expert in the ADD-HD field, which we will talk about, and just remarkable, remarkable breakthroughs there. He has worked for such companies as American Express, Dartmouth College, Hilton, and the Sheratons. In the 1980s, he was the driving force for the creation and the implementation of training programs in the banking, retail, food, and in the financial services industries. Across the board, this man is just simply a phenomenon. Dr. Kevin's work in both the professional and personal development fields, as well as in the corporate, small business, and entrepreneurial fields, has given him a wide platform to work from. In his work as a synergistic catalyst, he helps business owners maximize their potential, and I can tell you he has done that for me, as well as their teams, and also their business's potential. Synergizing your team is his way of allowing your business to be greater than the sum of its parts. And we'll talk about that. I love that. If you think about those words together, how you synergize your team and how you make everybody go in the same direction. I know often you think about birds, how all the birds flock in one direction and how they all move. And you think about how ants all work together in a family. And when you have a business that actually those components and parts work together, how much stronger and greater that is. And the fact that he has the skills to help your company do that is just amazing. He continues to speak and to teach throughout the United States and Europe, and he has several books out. For 3 years, he hosted his own radio show, so we're so honored he's here with us today, called Outside the Box with Dr. Kevin. He has been known for over 30 years for his highly intuitive, insightful, and yet practical approach to problems, whether they're professional, personal, or business. And he looks at the whole life, and he takes people and everything they are associated with on their journey to greatness. He shies away from nothing. He inspires people. Everyone he touches, he takes to the next level of their life. And as a speaker, as a trainer, as a teacher, as a catalyst, he brings people in sync with who they are and into the synergy of their own self. And we're going to talk we have so much to share in his bio. And as we're talking to him, I will share some facts. But his work in the ADD field is incredible. And when you're seeing what he's doing with these children, with these teens, with these adults, it opens your heart into a different way, because it's the steps that should be taken, and it makes so much sense, and it feels so right. So we've got so much to talk about today about how he's an innovator, all of his integrations, all of his trademarks, and I'm quite sure that we will have him on as a regular guest and bring him on, because there's so many subjects that he is truly versed in and really at the pinnacle and at the top of all of these fields, and an expert across the board. So I want to welcome with an open heart and, you know, great applause, great reverence and accolades for today's guest, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nicole, thank you for having me.
And, no, wow. What an amazing bio. What an amazing life.
Well, you know, it's funny because people have been saying to me for over 20 years now, they'll say, what do you do for work, Dr. Kevin? And I'll be like, I don't do work. I do joy. I wake up every morning and I get paid to be me. And it doesn't get any better than that.
Gosh,
so how could it be anything but an amazing life?
And, you know, as I was saying to our show today, you know, and to our audience and to our, all of our listeners, I've had the personal experience to work with you. And so I know what that's like. I know how you've changed my life. I know how you've grown my business. I know how you show me opportunities and doors. And so how do you see that? How do you do what you do? And how do you know what you know?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. In one of my earlier books called Combing the Mirror and Other Steps in Your Spiritual Path, one of the chapters that I do is, I will know whatever I need to know whenever I need to know it. And that's my agreement with the universe, with spirit, with God, Goddess, Allah, Buddha, you know, creator, the great pumpkin, I don't care what you call it. But I know that things, when we are open to them, unfold, and that knowing comes to us when we need it. And oftentimes, we get in our own way because we want it on our terms, we want it at our timing, we want it when we want it, even if it would only get in our way if we had that piece of information. And so, A, I live in that reality. I will know what I need to know when I need to know it. And when you have that kind of faith, things unfold.
Absolutely. And I'm just, what a way to live. I'm sorry for interrupting you. It's just when I just take a moment to think about that, that things will appear and that the knowledge in the moment that you need it. It's, I mean, when you think about a thought, how a thought all of a sudden, that bubble, that consciousness, that aha that comes to you in that moment and that epiphany, that's what we all strive for that genius thought. And you live every day like that. That's incredible.
Well, and you know, and I have my moments because, as you know, we have spent time together. You have seen me. I have my moments of frustration. I have my moments when I step out of that, you know, divine place, because we all do, because it's part of the human experience. And instead of beating ourselves up for it, we need to celebrate it. We need to go, well, congratulations, you're human. Isn't it nice to know? You can get mad like everybody else. You can miss things like everybody else. You can make a fool of yourself like everybody else. And in fact, I always look at, when I make a fool of myself, all I've done is provided people the healing of laughter. So, in fact, I have a little story. May I share a little story about that?
Oh, absolutely.
I was doing a book signing in Tolson, Maryland. I was doing book signings from Maine to Florida and back again for my Combing the Mirror and Other Steps in Your Spiritual Path book. And I had this woman who was the customer service manager at a Barnes & Noble. And from the minute I walked in the door, she was one of these, apologetic. You know, we did our best. I don't know how many people we're going to get. I've set up the chairs, but I apologize ahead of time. I mean, she was apologizing for things that hadn't even happened yet. And we get it set up, and it turns out she had set up like 25, 30 chairs for people. And 5 minutes into the presentation, and the way that I present when I do, because I always speak before I do book signings. I don't just sit there and sign books. Heaven forbid I should keep my mouth shut. And of course, I project it out. So within 5 minutes or so after I had started, I had standing room only, and people were out in the book aisles, 2 and 3 deep, all around me, so they could hear me. I had literally drawn in almost everybody in the store. And one of the things I'm explaining is how healing laughter is. And that if I'd say something, and, you know, that this book only is, you know, there's only 3 to 5 pages is the average chapter. I mean, is the longest chapter is 5 pages. The average chapter is about 3 pages. And I go, and you get about halfway through the book, and before you realize that what you've been laughing at is yourself. And each chapter comes with a homework assignment, because information without application is useless. And so I say to my audience, so if I do something, if I say something and you even think it's funny, laugh. You're not going to offend me. If you found that it brought you humor, then it brings you healing. And that works for me. So I'm going on, and I have this woman, and she's like buzzing around, and she's still trying to find something to apologize for. And I have a whole set, because Combing the Mirror was my third book. So I have a table behind me. I have piles of all three of my books that are out at the time, all piled up nice and pretty in a display on a table. And I have this habit of leaning on tables. And I lean back on this table in the middle of talking, and the table collapses.
Oh, no.
I fall on the floor, and all of these books fall on top of me. So I am now sitting on the floor looking at all of these people. This woman, I thought she was going to have a stroke. She was just like frozen. She was like, oh, my God, Dr. Emery. And I looked up at the people that are sitting there and standing there, and I went, okay, you all failed. Not one of you laughed. Come on, this is funny.
That's great.
And they all started laughing.
That's great. You know, it's amazing when you think about moments in life, and that when you step into them and they're new. So, you know, I was sitting next to somebody yesterday, and they were so excited because their baby rolled over for the first time. And as adults, we don't have those moments of first step, first word, first time you rolled over, first. And so to find those new moments that are awakening to our spirit, our soul, and our senses. And it's almost like you're on this great journey, almost like Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail or something, that you're looking for those awakening moments in life. And that you every day are finding them and finding all these treasures. And so it's just so fabulous to watch your life. It is. It's like watching an action adventure film.
Well, and the other thing that's out there, because the first one was just know what you will know when you need to know it. The second thing that I invite people to remember, you know, and this is my definition. You know, I've had people say to me before, because people will come and they know that there's a spiritual aspect to my work. There's a practical aspect, there's a pragmatic aspect, there's a spiritual aspect. I do not see any of those as mutually exclusive. In fact, I feel like if you are not spiritual, practical, and pragmatic, as well as loving, then you're missing part of the boat. You should be all of those things in your business, in your life, in your relationships. So knowing that my work sometimes is spiritual, people will say to me, well, are you going to try to give me God? You know, are you going to try to push some kind of God on me or religion? And I'll be like, no, it's not my job to give you God. It is my job to help you have a better relationship with the God you have. And if the God you have doesn't work for you, then we fire them and find another one, because there's plenty out there. And they're all looking for converts. So
that's hysterical.
So the next thing you have to do is you have to ask yourself, does my God work for me? Does my God work for me in my life? Do I even think this question? Am I even aware of it? Do I have a relationship, a loving relationship, a dialogue with God? Whatever I call that to be, God, Goddess, again, whatever, Nicole. Do I have a dialogue with that entity, with that energy, that allows me to be led, to be guided, to be supported, to be loved, and to be loving? I don't buy the worship. What a load of crap. Why would God need us to worship them? We don't need to worship God. We need to have a deep, meaningful relationship with God. Worship is putting God up on a pedestal. And sooner or later, that pedestal cracks. Not because God has done anything wrong, but in our own human limitedness, in our ability to comprehend and see all things, then we limit God. But if you have this loving dialogue relationship, you don't need anybody else to talk to God for you. You don't need anybody else to interpret God for you. You want to have an unlimited life? Have an unlimited God that doesn't have to speak to you through somebody else, that speaks to you in the quiet recesses of your heart, of your soul, of your being. Then you'll have an unlimited life because you have an unlimited God, because you're not putting limits on how that God can talk to you or where or when or through what books or through what lips. God speaks to you through all the books, through all the lips. There is as much God being spoken through the screech of an eagle as through the bray of a jackass. Mm. It's all God.
I love that when we talk about unlimited spirit and we talk about energy and we talk about light. And it is everything that you see. Absolutely everything that you see. And what a blessing for you to share that. And what a magical way for you to have an unlimited life and for our listeners on the show to be able to live an unlimited life and to be able to take those risks and take those chances and trust and hear and listen and see. And I know that you talk about a rainbow. I always talk about my life being like a kaleidoscope. And because I really think that it is, that my life is just a myriad of shapes and colors, and that depending on which way, you know, you look, it's an entirely different picture. And you talk about the rainbow of life, and what is that?
Well, the rainbow has several different significances for me. And I do want to make sure that I say this to your listening audience, because a lot of your listening audience experiences you every week as a gifted interviewer and as somebody that has lived themselves a very colorful life. But I want to let your listeners know that, you know, we think of 128 crayons in the crayon box, in the big one, and that, you know, we have all of these colors and all of these aspects. If you made that 1,280,000 crayon colors, you would still not have all of the shades that you, Nicole, bring into this world on a daily basis. And I want your listeners to hear that from one of your guest lips, somebody who has sat with you, worked with you, and see the beautiful way that you work through the world and touch everybody with your heart and your soul and your brain and your creativity and your gifts and your talents.
Kevin, thank you so much. What a beautiful thing to say. Truly, that means so much. Thank you.
Nobody is out there touching the world any more than you are. And I just want to make sure your listeners appreciate that, because sometimes us, when we're the radio show host, we do a great job at promoting everybody else. And sometimes our listeners need to be reminded that this is one tiny little aspect of us, and that we're out there and we are radio show hosts as one of a thousand ways in which we're trying to make the world a better place. And I know that you are as committed to making the world a better place as I am. So, you listeners, if you haven't stepped out and checked out Nicole Brandon Beyond, your favorite radio show host, then you're doing yourself a disservice. Make sure you check out all the things that this woman does. Now, back to your question.
Thank you, Kevin. Yes. So, you know, first, and it's interesting when I think about the rainbow, too, because I know that a rainbow is actually circular. That there is no end. When people say there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but there isn't an end, is there?
No. The rainbow is the pot of gold.
Yes.
The rainbow is the pot of gold. Rainbows have always been very interesting to me. My first collection of poetry was called Rainbows. I wrote my first collection of poetry when I was like 16, 17 years old. And in fact, I won awards for some of that poetry. I won a Poem of the Year award. I won a Poet of the Year award. I won a Silver Poet of the Year award, a Golden. I had 4 or 5 years where every year I won an award for my poetry. And my first collection was Rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
And they always kind of played into my life, this idea of the colors. And it played a lot in my metaphors and describing things. And then rainbows obviously take on a different meaning because, you know, I'm part of the GLBT community. For your listeners, that's the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered community. And we have used the rainbow flag as a way to celebrate the diversity, that all the different colors of the rainbow deserve to have equality in the world. And then when I've actually performed the song Rainbow Connection.
I love that song. Oh, the Muppets.
Yes.
Jim Henson was such a genius, and it's such a beautiful song because it really is about reaching your dreams and reaching your goals and reaching everybody else in the world.
The lovers, the dreamers.
And me.
And me. And I always change the very last line when I sing it to the lovers, the dreamers, that's me.
Oh.
So, but recently, last year, I was asked to do something because, you know, I do a lot of work with ADDHD. And I've done that work since the late 90s. And I look at it as part of the evolutionary process. And it's here broadening the bandwidth of humanity. And that it's not a disease. It's not a disability. It's not a disorder. And dear God, would we stop medicating it and really, really look and see what it is, see it for what it is. And these were the architects of the 20th century. This was Einstein, Edison, Graham Bell, Ford, all the way up to Eleanor Roosevelt, all the way up to Steve Jobs, to Michael Phelps, to Robin Williams, to Warren Buffett. You know, just the list goes on and on of people who never needed labels, who never needed medication. But we're living in and all the early ones were living in a world where, A, they ate real food. They ate real food, good food, and not the garbage we call our diet today. And, B, you know, like Edison at the age of 12 was deemed inappropriate for education and was asked to leave school. And because of that, he got a job on a train going in and out of Chicago. Went to the Chicago Library and swears that he read every book in the Chicago Library by the time he was 18, and went on to create 1,093 patents because he was too stupid for public education.
Wow.
Today, we take the Edison who acts out in class because he's too bright for class, because it doesn't engage him. We have him on a horrible diet that exacerbates his curiosity and his high energy. And then we medicate him into numbness so we can make him mediocre and easier to manage, to manage like a sheep. And this is what we're doing to our children, and this is what we do to these adults. Now, there are many people out there that do not have this label, and it does not apply because it's so easy to get. The minute your 5 or 6-year-old acts up in any way, if they can't find another label for it, they can spew out 3 or 4 things that could be ADDHD. They get a label and a pill before sunset. It's really discouraging. It's disgusting how willing we are to medicate away the problems of our children, when what we're doing is we're medicating away the beauty of our future. We're destroying our next generation of artists and inventors, of our creatives, of our philosophers, our statesmen. We're medicating them into dysfunctional beings because we're too lazy, too cheap, too corrupt to do what we need to do to deal with them as children. And, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars go from Big Pharma into Congress's pockets every year through lobbies so that we can we can keep this atrocity going, and millions, billions of dollars are made at the cost of our children. And we're drinking the Kool-Aid, Nicole. We drink this Kool-Aid. And so you find a kid that has 10 things wrong with them, and some of them may even be legitimate. The first label they'll get, 9 times out of 10, is ADHD and a script. I.e. prescription.
It's heartbreaking. I mean, when, just like what you're saying, the geniuses, I think all the time, too, about dyslexia. And Hans Christian Andersen was dyslexic, the greatest storyteller of our time. You know, Stephen Cannell and Tom Cruise and, you know, all of these people that, you know, these actors that it's mind-boggling that we say, okay, something's wrong with this child. Instead of this is the process of the mind, this is the creative process, this is, we're talking about unlimited life or out-of-the-box thinking, which you had your show on out-of-the-box. And so somebody that has such incredible energy and such incredible veracity of the brain and the genius power, and that we want to give them a drug, and the United States is the most prevalent country for drugging our children. I mean, other countries don't drug their children. And even the helmet laws, when I see children riding bicycles with little helmets and elbow pads and knee pads, if you're in Venice, if you're in Venezia, the kids ride their bikes along the water. You know, they ski to school, they do whatever. But here, we encase them, and we don't let them grow and be free and be children and explore and be adventurous and see what they're to become and what they can give back to this planet and this world. And so how do we stop it? How do we see it? How do you talk to parents and say there's another way, there's another choice? Stop, don't give them drugs.
Well, I've been fighting that battle since the late 90s. And my first book on the subject, Managing the Gift, Alternative Approaches for Attention Deficit Disorder, came out in 2000. So that's how long I've been singing this song. And you know, and going to go back to that question about rainbows. Because when, you know, ADHD is one of the things I do. And I'm a poster child. I'm ADHD. Now, it took me a little while to after I'd already been working in the population for 5 years, to finally self-identify. I didn't think I was. It was my life partner at the time when people would say, well, you have ADHD, right? And I'd be like, no. And he'd say, why are you not being honest with these people? And I'd be like, James, I don't have it. And he's like, you tell him it's wonderful. Why are you not being honest? And I'm like, James, I don't have it. And then he made me go through my own criteria list of the things that I say that are the criteria that I look for if somebody truly is gifted with ADHD and just isn't either suffering from something else or isn't just a victim of bad diet, bad parenting, and bad education. And as I'm going through the checklist, I get to the, and I can't remember whether I've told you this story or not privately, but the criteria that I couldn't get past is I said to James, I'm like, I'm not bright enough to be ADHD. I'm just not that smart.
Oh, funny. You have not shared this story.
And he looked at me and he just shook his head. And, you know, he had been a student of mine, and he had studied with me, and we'd been together, I don't know, 3-4 years at that point. We ended up being together for a total of 7 years, and so somewhere in the middle. And he said to me, he's like, "What?" He said, I know people that get headaches from talking to you. And he said, what do you mean you're not that smart? And I said, well, there's a certain kind of brilliance or ways that they see things. And I said, and I really admire it when you can get them out of sometimes stuck in their head, but it's there. And then he came back and he threw my own words in my face, which I used to teach all my students, still do, which is that which comes so natural to us, we rarely value for what it's really worth. We take it for granted. And he goes, I really get, you don't get how smart you are. But I could see how smart everybody else was. So finally he convinced me and I self-identified. So I am my own poster child. And I'm sure you get a kick out of me saying that I didn't think I was smart enough.
Oh, my gosh. Just incredible. You know, it's interesting that you say that. I was with a friend the other night, and she's, you know, one of us. If God were one of us, you know, she's in our clan of the, you know, extraordinary thinkers, extraordinary mind, out of the box, unlimited, you know, has done so many things in so many fields. And she said to me that she had gone on a date the night before. And she said, Nicole, I swear to you, it's been a long time since I've been on a date. She said, and it wasn't until I was telling this guy about my life that I went, from somebody else, this must seem crazy. That I have done all this and could be all these things and been to all these places. And she said, I just was imagining what it was like listening. Because you would believe it's true, but it is.
Oh, and I know that one. And I always say, I always say, because I'm, you know, in this moment I'm single, and which is a very rare state for me, frankly. I thrive in relationship, and I referred to myself for over 20 years. I was a serial monogamist. I would just go from a long-term relationship to a long-term relationship. And so being single, I realized that I really suck at dating. I'm a really bad dater because I'm so much immediately want to, if you've interested me, if you haven't interested me, God help you. I will make you laugh and smile through the whole date. I'll be amusing and charming, and you'll never hear from me again because you really didn't interest me. But if you interest me at all, I want to have a doctorate degree on you and your life by the end of the first date, and that's your sign that I'm that you've interested me, and it sends most people running, screaming, pulling their hair out. Because all I want to have is deep, serious, meaningful conversations at the first date.
That's funny. That's wonderful. But it is when people look at, you know, your life, at my life. And so can I ask you what the checklist is?
The checklist. Well, let me finish explaining the rainbow.
Yes. Yes.
Because, and then I'll go into the checklist. Because, so they came to me, and because ADHD is one of the things I do. I mean, I work with individuals. I work with businesses. I write my own books and do all my own stuff. And I, one of the reasons why my life is so joyful is I do a number of different things. And so I was given the task of, if you don't want to be doing as much work in the ADHD community the way you did, especially with children, and I love children, but there's a commitment level there where I feel like I have a larger audience I need to be touching. I need to be touching more people who are touching children than just touching children myself, you know, interacting and, you know, really helping them and their parents see who they are and what they're capable of. So what I did was I was asked if I could create an app to go on, you know, like iPhones, iPads, stuff like that. And how would I break down what I do into a format that would help parents with their children, and then there'll be a second part, which is coming out later this year, beginning of next year, about how adults can help themselves and people that are in their adult lives can help themselves. And so I created the Dr. Kevin Rainbow. So so the parents or adults can answer these 12 questions with the help of their children about the children, and they get to be a shade on the Dr. Kevin Rainbow. And they get a report that's around 17 to 19 pages about their child's shade, about their child's parenting, care, recommendations for diet, you know, things, how to teach, how to get them to do homework, where stuff like this. And so, and I, because of my whole thing with rainbows, I wanted to do it in a color format. Well, I ended up with 64 shades on the rainbow, Nicole.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
So this app generates out over 9,000 unique reports that are all 17 to 19 pages. And it just actually came out last week. It's in iTunes now. It just came out. So, so it's called Managing the Gift. So if people go to the iTunes store and they put in managing the gift, they'll find my app. The app itself is free, and it has all my information on ADDHD to help adults and children, people with it, to see it in a different way, to get support. You know, if they're not going to read my books or watch my DVDs or listen to my CDs, then they at least have an app, which for a lot of people, that's a preferred way to get information these days. So that's the rainbow. The Dr. Kevin rainbow, all 64 shades of it.
That's really amazing. And what a beautiful image. It really is, and what a great way to be able to see it and experience it and explore it and decipher it and be able to explain it the way that you have. That's just genius. See, you really are genius.
Well, and I came up with some great shade colors. Somebody could be an outrageous orange. They could be a Buddha gold. And in fact, one of the things, and I don't know if I'm not sure if I ever mentioned it to you or not, but I also just released a clothing line.
No, you never mentioned that. Go ahead. Now I'm really curious. You have no idea. I've got all sorts of ideas running through my head right now.
Of course you do. Of course you do. You and I in the same room is dangerous. A lot of times I don't share these things with you because we have so much we've got to do when we're together that, you know, like, I could derail the whole process with three lines. So I'm very careful. Yeah, I have come out with a clothing line, which actually is called Not Medicate. And pictures should be up on my website pretty soon, but they all have things like, on the front of it, it has the eight primary shades that all the shades came from. So you have, you know, you have white and pink and purple and red and yellow and orange. And so you have blue, green, and so, but you can get, first I'm just doing a line of shirts, but it's going to expand. And so, like, I have these T-shirts, and on the front of it, it's like, elevate, not medicate, celebrate, not medicate, meditate, not medicate, all of these different things, and whatever, so that people can actually. And on the back, it's got the K in the octagon, which is my logo, Dr. K. And, you know, it just says K in the octagon. But on the front, so it's got all these great positive messages for people to basically be like, don't medicate me. Elevate me. Celebrate me. You know, advocate for me. Cooperate with me. Update me. But don't medicate me. It's everything. And then Not Medicate. So that's the clothing line.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Just fantastic. Just incredible.
So,
you're just amazing. You truly are. I have a clothing line. And you're like the Ginsu knife guy. But wait, there's more.
Well, you want to know one of the next things I'm
working on? You have a Ginsu guy to your life. Yes.
You want to know one of the new things I'm working on? I don't know when it's going to be out. I don't know if time. I'm actually creating a series of aromatherapies that will help with the different shade colors to be able to calm down, focus, things like this. I'm blending them all myself.
That's wonderful. I know that Dr. Paul Shealy was talking about that frankincense works with Alzheimer's, and that there are different incense that work with the brain functionality, and so people don't have to be medicated, and so I know it works. I think that would just be amazing. And that would be, you know, you talk about managing the gift, what a gift to be able to do aromatherapy, to be able to do that, to be able to calm, to be able to excite, to be able to focus, to be able to improve memory, to be able to add confidence or whatever it is that you need to do. Allow that. I mean, yes. Do aromatherapy.
Yeah, well, I'm doing it. I've already started creating the blends. The problem is, of course, I'm torn in so many different directions. But I will come out with these blends so that if you or your child is one of the blue shades, this would be for focus. This would be to calm your head and be able to meditate or go to sleep at night. Right now I'm thinking I'm going to come up with three basic aromatherapies per shade. So it means I have to formulate 24 aromatherapy blends. So I've started that process, but it's a little low on the list because I have so many other things going on.
Yes.
Imagine that, Nicole.
I know. Absolutely. And so what is your ADD list? How do you know if a child or a teenager or even an adult or you yourself? And then how does somebody find you for help, and how does somebody be able to know the colors of the rainbow and so and get off their medication?
Yeah, and I want to put out there, I am not a medical doctor. I cannot prescribe. I cannot diagnose. Your listeners have to hear me, because let me tell you, people that are out there doing the kind of work that I do, with any misstep, of any miscommunication that people ever think I'm diagnosing or prescribing, I would be behind bars in a heartbeat, because they put people like me away because I'm challenging the system and I'm challenging the cash cows. So listeners, I'm a doctor, but I'm not an MD. So as I tell you my list, these are the things I look at when people want my opinion, just my opinion, not a diagnosis, if they fall into the gift category, into Dr. Kevin's gift category. My little pray at the altar. You remember in Fiddler in the Roof?
Yes.
I know you were in that show.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, she was in the musical Fiddler on the Roof. And I always do my blessing to the Tsar.
Yes.
May God bless and keep the Tsar.
Keep the Tsar far away from us.
Far, far away from us. That's my blessing to the. That's my blessing to the FDA.
That's great.
So, anyways. So, highly intelligent, okay, highly creative, very justice-oriented. And the funny thing is, they may or may not defend themselves, depending on the shade that they are. Sometimes they're just likely to blow past it or, you know, not actually defend themselves. But it's rare that they won't defend somebody that they feel is being treated unfairly. So, if they feel like the teacher is picking on the kid next to them, they'll stand up to the teacher. If the teacher's picking on them, they may let it go by the boards. But that's what I say is justice-oriented. That they think differently. And this is part of that intelligence. And sometimes with the ADDHD, it can be almost a focused intelligence, like an idiot savant. Like, you swear that they couldn't tie their own shoes, but they just, you know, found a cure for cancer. You know, in between, you know, their eighth grade math class and science class. But that intelligence is there. And one of the ways in which they think differently, and this is one of the things I've had the hardest time in my 15 years of dealing with trying to talk to people about this, is they take information and they play with it like a little child plays with food. They pick it up, they pull it apart, they look at it, they analyze it, they study it from all sorts of different directions. It's not clearly just an abstract thought process. It's not clearly just an analytic thought process. But it's like they look at it. I used to describe it as a revolving spiral. And they're looking at all different angles. And as they literally play with information, they play with knowledge. And as they do it, they're either always looking on how they can go in a co-creative relationship with it. Can they make it better? Can they shift it? Can they change it? What can they invent out of it? And if they're not looking at absorbing it and playing with it and somehow having a relationship with it, then they're teaching it. They're sharing it. They're telling everybody else about it. Does that make sense to you, Nicole?
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Only... Go ahead.
No. I mean, I love that idea. It's almost like the Rubik's Cube. That's
yep.
How I think about it when you talk about somebody playing with it and trying to see how you can make it be shifted into a different picture and interactive in that way. At least that's what came up for me when you were saying that.
See, and those who have it and those who work closely with it will get what I say. A lot of times, people who only deal with it on the surface, which unfortunately sometimes are your pediatricians or even your psychiatrists that write the prescriptions for it, have very little interaction with it, actually. they don't ever spend enough time to be able to see the beauty of this thought process. To them, it just looks like it's a mess. It's like seeing a kid with a bowl of spaghetti, and they're wearing half the spaghetti, but they're having a great time doing it. But that's how they do deal with knowledge and look at it. The other thing is natural-born rebels. They just can't help. We just can't help ourselves. Forget about the way that they. We. Nicole, we can't help ourselves. Because any time we see something, if there is a better or different way to do it, we're going to be advocating for it. And that's what a rebel is. Right. A rebel is somebody who brings about change. We can't ever go in anything that we are interested in and ever leave it the way we found it, can we?
No.
It's impossible. They struggle with something. I call it a struggle. It looks like willing disobedience. Even as much as they tell themselves that they really want to remember something or learn something or do something, usually to please somebody else, their brain just won't let them. If their brain says, this has no value, this doesn't interest me, it doesn't engage me, they cannot force their brain to do it. Unless you medicate the brain, which basically means, again, you're drugging it up and dumbing it down. You're cutting back the brilliance. Because the brilliance goes, you know what? What's going on in my head is so much more interesting than what's going on outside of my head right now. Why would I pay attention? You got to work hard to work with these kids and adults. You have to be on your best game. They will make you better if you work with them. And so the other thing is they tend to have more psychic abilities, or they're more aware. A lot of them tend to be empathetic, so they will take on the emotions of those around them. That's more prevalent in some shades than others. Some shades actually protect themselves by being almost antisocial, so then they don't have to have the constant a wave of emotions going on around them. Others do, like, we won't mention any names, Nicole.
Yes.
But what they do is they take all of these emotions in and they turn them into stunning performances on the stage.
Well spoken. Thank you.
So
it's truly genius to be able to. Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it's genius to be able to say, okay, these are things to look for. And, I mean, that was back from, like, the beginning of time, people would forage for food and forage for berries and say, you want the ones that are ripe, not the ones on the vine. You want the ones that are by the rock. You know, all those specifics is the berries that didn't kill people, the berries that were the best berries, that they were the most nutritious. They were the healing berries or the, whatever that is. And so being able to have that list and that specific location, that specific questioning, the specific is this, you know, how you recognize this, is this how you recognize the gift? Is you how you recognize the magic, the food for your soul, for your life, the healing for the village, for the world? And so the fact that you've created that list is just magical, and I'm so glad that you have, and what a beautiful thing for people to be able to say, this is a gift. This is not something wrong with me. This is actually, I'm so special, and I have the ability to change the world. And change the world around me, change humanity, change society, make a difference, offer new science, new technology, new thought.
And, you know, and the thing is, and you see these, you see these children and these adults who are like this, and if you said that to them, some of them would look at you crazy because they'd be like, I'm just being me. What are you talking about?
Absolutely. And like, Kevin, we have a caller right now. Go ahead and finish with what you were saying, and then I want to talk about the caller that we have. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's just this, but so many of them just go through, and they don't ever realize the amount of chaos that they create. And I don't say chaos in a bad way, but they ask the questions nobody thought to ask, will point out the things that either nobody thought to point out or polite society tells you you shouldn't point out. And they go, and there are this maelstrom of energy and thought and brilliance and creativity, and they upset the institutional apple cart. So no wonder the institution is trying to, you know, destroy them through medication.
Right. You know, I say very often that when I was a little girl and I was in nursery school, how all the children would nap and how I would never, ever, 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 ever nap. I mean, they couldn't do anything. They would have to hit me on the head with a club to make me nap. And not only would I not nap, but I wanted to wake up all the sleeping children so that they would play with me. And they had to send me out in the yard so I wouldn't disrupt, you know, nursery school. And what I finally have realized as an adult was that at 4 years old, I was completely clear on what I wanted to do, which was to wake up all the sleeping children so that they play with me. You know, so I want to wake up all the sleeping people on the planet so they'll play with me. It's just now I have a platform to do it. But at four, I was in nursery school going, wake up. Why are you all sleeping? You know, it made no sense whatsoever. But... now I have a little bit more compassion. But we have a caller, Corinne, and she had a question when I was saying about Dr. Paul Scheele and the frankincense for Alzheimer's. And so she wants to know about incense and aromatherapy. So let's talk to her for just a minute.
Hey,
hi, Corinne. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicole, and thank you for being there, Doctor. What do you know about the, you know, frankincense for Alzheimer's and maybe any other aromatherapy for Alzheimer's?
Well, it's interesting. I'm not a general aromatherapist. I mean, I have studied it enough to work with it privately in my practice as far as recommendations, and I am creating my aromatherapy blends for ADHD based on my understanding of basic aromatherapy qualities and knowing what the ADHD different shades and individuals know. So as I speak of that, one of the things is my take on Alzheimer's, and this is a completely spiritual take. So do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not talking, again, from a medical perspective. To me, part of what is happening is with the Alzheimer's, the grooves that they created in life, in thought processes, became so stuck and so deep within those that the brain went through a type of energetic atrophy. Now, on one hand, the Alzheimer's patients are there to teach lessons to all the people whose lives they are in. And there are all sorts of lessons we learn from Alzheimer's patients. And I actually did work 20 years ago in an Alzheimer's unit working with some Alzheimer's patients from a more natural perspective. As far as aromatherapies go, interestingly enough, I would tend to do blends that would be blends which would stir up memories. Mm-hmm. And stimulate blood flow in the brain. And and so I would think of things like black pepper. And I would think of things, and it depends on what state they are, because there are stages of Alzheimer's. And again, I have to say, I'm not a medical doctor, but there are different stages. There are stages when they are more agitated, and you may want to use more of the florals. I wouldn't naturally just go to lavender, but I would think of more of the florals, but I might think of some of the lighter florals or some of the different florals. And one of the things when I was doing work, again, in an Alzheimer's unit, and this was 25 years ago, actually, where I was helping in an Alzheimer's unit to see what we could get doing, I would also base the aromatherapies on as much as I could find out about the person's history.
Right.
Where did they come from? What fragrances would actually bring them back? into things that would speak to them, because one of the powers of aromatherapy is smells initiate memories. We create memories around smells. If you were raised in a household where you came home and mom or dad, I don't care, baked chocolate chip cookies or fresh bread, I can calm you down with the smell of fresh bread.
Yeah.
If it has a sensory memory to you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so in the work that I did, and again, it was limited, but in the work I did, I tried to understand as much as I could about the person, where they came from, what were some of the happiest moments of their life. If I could find that out from the family, I would recreate that to calm them down. And then if I was trying to teach them something or get the brain to come out of apathy, out of being, not apathy, but atrophied, an energetic atrophy, so to speak, then I would be using stimulating things. The idea of the frankincense for a lot of people would be associated with an energy of peace, and it might even be associated, depending on their background, with an energy of spiritual comfort.
Right.
Absolutely, and I do know, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in here just a moment,
go ahead.
That it does, you know, change the vibrational patterns in the brain, and the doctor that I was sharing with you that works specifically, you know, and the research of that is Dr. Paul Sheely. Paul Sheely is the will be a guest on the show as well, and he's with Learning Strategies, and he is the photo reading, where you learn how to read, you know, thousands and thousands of words just by being able to look on a page. And so he works on how the brain captures information, and frankincense is one of his researches. And so if you're specifically looking into the frankincense, then you would want to reach out to Dr. Paul Sheely. You know, and you can always contact us, and I'm happy to pass that information on. But everything that Dr. Kevin is saying is absolutely correct as far as the sensory memory of the smells, and it's the same as sound, that when a lot of times I'll go in to work with a coma patient, and I'll go in to work with somebody who's been in a coma, and they have meditation music, or violins, or some symphony, or some great Om Namah Shivaya playing, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're playing music for them to leave. Put on Donna Summers, and dim all the lights, and disco
right.
music, and something to put them in their body. People aren't aware that the sounds and the smells around somebody who is trying to escape, who's trying to leave, whether that be, you know, emotionally, physically, spirit, whatever that is, that what we do here in the grounding of the physical form, in like Dr. Kevin saying, the chocolate chip cookies or spaghetti or whatever that is, you know, corned beef and cabbage, those things, or the sounds that put you back in your body, back in that memory of time. It's the same way when we hear a song, we remember where we were in that song, that if you have those smells, all of a sudden that person is pulled back to the time they were by the ocean when they were seven, or they were pulled back to the time that they had that coconut pie or whatever that is. And so you actually can re-trigger and recalibrate the memory with sounds and with smells. And so everything that Dr. Kevin's saying is absolutely correct, but if you're looking for frankincense specifically, that's Dr. Paul Sheely.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been using peppermint. It's my dad who has Alzheimer's. And, you know, I don't know how well it's done, but I do have frankincense, and I'll try that too. But Doctor and Nicole, don't you think in terms of the ADHD that our diet is very important?
Well, first of all, diet is the first thing I look at. And I look at it because, you know, in my most recent book, Managing the Gift of Your ADHD Child, my single favorite word in the book is exacerbate. What exacerbates this gift into a curse? Because we're being taught it's a curse. And diet is at the top of the list. From the fact that the ADHD body as part of an evolutionary process, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that it creates its own set of what I call allergic reactions to this toxic food,
right.
which makes it go out of control,
mm-hmm.
and creates the uncontrollable meltdowns and the hyper and the stuff like this. And that if you start with diet and you get the diet in order and understand what that diet is, And you'd be surprised at some of what agitates. I mean, I do cover diet in the app and the report that people can get. The report is called Paint Your Child's Portrait, actually. That for some of these kids, there are certain kinds of foods that are going to be more irritating to their system and therefore more irritating in general that might be foods that we think of we would never think of. And that's all based on the questions, their answers to their questions and their shades and stuff like this. But diet definitely has to go in line. We've got to get out all the processed foods, all the foods that have been exposed to chemicals, all the foods that we just simply know are empty calories, because the ADHD body craves nutrients. And you will watch sometimes ADHD people end up with weight problems because they get addicted as a child to bad foods, because between Madison Avenue and fast food parenting, we addict our children very early on to the worst kinds of food and foods that have addictive qualities. But not only the addiction, but the ADHD body craves nutrients, and it will eat itself sick if it still hasn't got enough nutrients in its diet.
Right.
And so much of what we feed kids have so few nutrients. And even the organics and the things coming out of the ground these days are sometimes 50% or more less nutritious than they were 50 years ago.
Right.
Because of how we farm, because of what we do. And GMO is a whole mess we don't even want to get me on.
Oh, my God. No kidding. Well, because
okay.
He's not my son. He's almost my son. But I believe he's got ADHD. And at one time, a doctor thought he had Asperger's syndrome. But we feed him all organic food, and he craves the salads and things like this. I think it's very, I read about a school once, I can't remember where it was, but it was a school of problem children, and they took the children in and they fed them nothing but organic good food, and it was remarkable recovery across the board.
The next step is, though, to understand that these kids still do think differently, or adults function differently, and that they need just enough support with which to fly. Not enough support and not the right kind of support, they don't get off the launching pad. Too much structure, they will self-destruct the structure because it's claustrophobic to that mind. So there are still lots of things that have to be done beyond that. And, you know, and it's so funny because a parent will correct a child's diet, but the child will still get in trouble at school, and they'll be, well, why? And I'm like, well, because giving them a good diet didn't make them any more tolerant to stupid educational practices.
Right.
It didn't stop them from being bored. It didn't.
Right, exactly.
They tried to, when I was in high school, they tried to give me a detention, and then they were going to not only give me a detention, but they threatened if I didn't go to the detention, the teacher did. If I didn't go to the detention, I would be suspended. The reason why the teacher was giving me a detention is because it was my English teacher, and I would not stop raising my hand and correcting his English when he spoke incorrectly.
Oh, my God. Right.
Yeah. And he gave me a detention. I said, I'm not going. And he said, then you'll be suspended. I said, great. Suspend me. We'll go to the school board, and you're going to explain to the school board why you gave me a detention, because I have to keep on correcting your poor English in English class. You want to have that conversation? You want to have that conversation, because I'll have that with you in front of the school board.
Right. So what happened?
They changed my English class. I never got the detention. They changed my teacher. They gave me one
that's funny.
English.
That's great. That's funny. And for, you know, for myself, they skipped. They just said I was in second grade, and we had to do book reports, and I turned in a different book report than the book the class was doing. And I said, what's this? And they said, you know, you said to do a book report in the book we were reading, and I was reading Dostoevsky. I was in second grade, and they were like, you don't belong in this class. Next thing I know, I'm out of the school. I'm like, what did I do? I wrote a book report in the book I was reading.
Oh, my God, that is funny. No, I mean, there's just so many, you know, angles of wrongness in the society to begin with, everything, you know. But I appreciate listening to you guys, and thank you so much, Doctor.
Well,
thank you. And it's so great to hear you, and, you know, certainly we wish the best for your father. So
thank you so much.
Of course. K, Kevin, it's so funny when, you know, we hear somebody come in and they share information like that, and, you know, the desire is so strong. And when we talk about food and the correlation of food is amazing. Yesterday, I was at 7-Eleven, and I went to buy gum. And I went to checkout, and all I did was I had one little pack of gum, and the checkout guy said, "You want gum? You know that we have a special. We have 2-for-1 gum. Would you like 2-for-1? So I said, "Okay." And then he said, "Twinkies, we have 2-for-1 Twinkies. Twinkies, they're very good." I said, "I don't need a Twinkie." And he's, "Oh, people love Twinkies. They're very good." I said, "No, I don't eat Twinkies." And he said, "Bananas, they're very healthy. We have a special on bananas." I said, "I wish I had a store because I would hire you. But the correlation between gum and Twinkies and bananas, most people just, they don't give it a thought. They don't connect food to anything. There is no dot or line drawn, and it is so vital and so important. You know, I teach nutrition and health, and so for me, this is something that I love to talk about. But is that in your book also, in Managing the Gift, talking about the diet as well?
And I have two different Managing the Gift books out. One's Managing the Gift Alternative Approaches, which came out in 2000, and then I have the one that came out last year, Managing the Gift of Your ADHD Child. And I do go over diet in both of those. I have a DVD called Managing the Gift, Maximizing Your ADHD Greatness Potential. And I go over diet. It's actually 4 hours, almost 4 hours of DVD of me actually teaching from the stage about ADHD and the things you can do. And diet is a prevalent message in all of that. And I did a blog not too long ago, and if people, if they come to mydrkevin.com, that's mydrkevin.com, you know, or like my fan page or whatever, you can get access to all my blogs and all the stuff I put out, because I'm always putting out stuff. Stuff goes out every day, that not only just in the ADHD arena, but the business arena, the Journey to Greatness arena, and then just my commentary on the world, which we know I have no shortage of. But recently I was did a blog, and you remember I'm So Excited, the Pointer Sisters?
Yes, of course.
I saw WebMD. Now, WebMD is one of the biggest deliverers of MD-type information to the general public on the web. And so they send out these little newsletters and stuff like this, and they sent me one. And so I blogged about it, and I started it with, you know, I'm so excited, I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. And I think, and it was because this one said that after tons of research and years of study, that the group of doctors had come and made a decision that maybe we needed to look at the fact that there might be an effect on how a child behaves by what we feed them.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe. And that, but they were willing to say that it was a strong enough correlation that we might want to examine it. And I said, how many years of education, how many years of, you know, practice, how many doctors did it come to take to come to a conclusion that any at all self-aware, present mother of a four-year-old could tell you is an absolutely true statement? Really? Really?
That's amazing. That really is. And when you know, and you're talking about your blogs and your website, and which I'm so glad, because I really want everybody to be able to find you and to find this work. And then I also know that you had your own radio show for 3 years, and I believe it was called Outside the Box with Dr. Kevin. And so I just wanted to know if the rumor is true. Are you coming back to the radio?
I am. I'm coming out with a new show. It's going to be scheduled out in October sometime. And what I'm actually going to be creating, not something I had a chance to catch you up on yet, is I'm creating my own radio station. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a whole station that is 168 hours of programmable on one of the most advanced, it is actually, I'm going to say the most advanced internet platform delivery systems in existence today. It's just this platform delivery system is just hitting the market. So I'm going to be launching Dr. Kevin Radio. And
that's
I will.
Wonderful news. I mean, it's wonderful news for me. It's wonderful news for our audience because that's what I was saying at the top of the show. You have so much information and you are an expert in so many fields. And certainly you were the go-to guy and the most trusted source and resource of information in so many fields of really greatness, wellness, health, business. And so to be able to have your own radio network and to be able to share this kind of program is just going to be remarkable for all the people out there.
Well, and, you know, the thing is, we're going to go back to the rainbow for a second because I'm only going to be putting out one show a week. I don't have time for more than one show a week. I have so many plates in midair. I have, you know, probably almost as many as you do. I may not be that quite aggressive, but probably. And so I am going to be launching a new radio show called Behind the Curtain with Dr. Kevin. Because in my old radio show for 3 years, I took you outside the box. I took you outside of your comfort zone. I took you into places to show you how to expand beyond who you thought you were or could be or who or what you thought the world was. And Behind the Curtain, I'm going to be exposing things that are operating in our world that, with that knowledge, should move you to step up, make change, get up. The goal of the show is to wake the apathetic, to transform the sheeple back into people, to expose you to thoughts, ideas, individuals that will really help you stand up and be counted, be heard, make a difference, and be part of the movement of change. But I'm going to be bringing on lots of other people who will have shows on the network. I'm not doing it all alone. I'm going to be bringing back some old friends that co-hosted some radio shows with me and some people that I know that had radio shows and it didn't quite work out because it wasn't always didn't do it in a way that worked for them. And I'm luring some of those people back on the air. But I have dedicated 21 hours of airtime a week to creative programming, where I will actually promote. I've already got my first person who has signed up to host, but I will be promoting writers, singers, musicians, artists, anybody that does anything creative that has something that they can sell or promote, get out there to the world. I want to be really supporting the arts. And so I have dedicated 21 hours a week of this radio station to nothing but supporting and promoting the arts.
That's fantastic. And then, Kevin, how does somebody, again, find your website, contact you? How do they find out about the radio show or even if you have upcoming events? I would love people to be able to, you know, find you, follow you, participate with you, be able to ask you questions, be guided by you, mentored by you, taught by you, led by you. I mean, you're such a remarkable man. You're like the guy with the baton in front of the parade, and all the magic happens, you know, just because you're there and just leading the band. And so can you share with our listeners once again how to find you?
MyDrKevin, MyDrKevin.com. If you go there, you can click and follow me on Facebook and be on my Facebook fan page, and that gives all sorts of stuff. My Twitter, my LinkedIn. You will actually get emails if you just sign up. And, in fact, you get to choose 1, 2, or 3 of free e-books that I am actually giving out right now. If you come and sign up on my website to be on my mailing list, you can get my e-book, ADHD Evolution, Revolution, Solution for the 21st Century. Or you can get my e-book, 5 Tips to Synergizing Your Business. Or you can get my e-book, Empowering Your Journey to Greatness. So come, sign up, get a free e-book, get all three. They're there. I just want to get this information out into the world. And you can follow me and you can do all the stuff there. And I do have, because I know we must be running low on time.
Yeah, but we always have time for you, so we will absolutely have you back.
So I do. I am releasing this Sunday a brand new thing. Then if people like me on my fan page, which you can again do through my website, like me on my Facebook fan page, every Sunday I am going to be doing Dr. Kevin's Poetry Corner. And every Sunday I'm going to be sharing a video of me sharing one of my original pieces of poetry.
That's going to be beautiful.
So people can go every Sunday,
lovely.
Get a little Dr. Kevin poetry loving. It's just one. It's just short. It's 30 seconds. I think the longest one was so far that I've taped to go on there is like 3 minutes because it was a long poem. But if I'm going to be promoting everybody else's creativity, I want might as well be sharing mine with the world at the same time.
That's just brilliant. Oh, I can't wait for that because I know your heart and I know your spirit and I know your soul and I know you are such a talented and gifted writer. And so that's just going to be absolutely beautiful, just mesmerizing. So I can't wait to see that myself. And I know your words and your words so deeply touch my heart. So very exciting.
That's really wonderful. If we have time, I know you have
yes.
to be careful. I have a brief poem I'd like to share with you in the audience.
Oh, Kevin, what a blessing. Absolutely. We love that.
And I think because of the name of your show, because of you being who you are and your listeners, that I chose a poem that I wrote actually recently called The Right Thing.
Mm.
When your lips move and I hear your soul sing, I know you're doing the right thing. When your eyes dance, playing all out, taking the chance, I know you are doing the right thing. And if you discover when you arrive, now fully alive, it wasn't where you thought you'd be, it does not mean you weren't doing the right thing. And when the jealous and the naysayers, those who are but fear purveyors, are putting you down, remember, you are doing the right thing. So, when your lips move and you hear your soul sing, simply know you're doing the right thing.
That's fantastic. Oh, my body is vibrating. That was incredible. Truly spectacular. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You know, beyond managing the gift, you get to say thank you for the gift, Kevin. That was awesome. Just incredible. Honestly, my body is just vibrating now. I can just feel that all the way through. Every little particle, every little beingness is awakened.
Well, thank you for that.
And when you talk about... Yes.
I was just going to say, so if you and your viewers want to share more of that, every Sunday there'll be just right there, real brief little poetry pickup for the day. And you were going to say?
I was going to say that, you know, when you talk about doing the right thing, and we have just a couple minutes left, but I also know that you guide people to have a vision and a mission statement for their life. And so as we're coming to a close, can you tell me why that's important and if you have one and what your mission statement or vision statement would be?
Yes. It's so important. I look at that when we're born, just before we're born, we have this huge tapestry that would go the whole length of a castle wall of what we're here to do, what is our purpose, the people we're here to touch, the things we're here to learn and share and experience. And the moment we take a breath, that breaks into a million pieces. And our job throughout our lifetime is to reassemble those pieces. And some pieces fall to the wayside, others don't fit as things shift and change. But knowing what your vision of how you want your life to have been lived and the world you want to leave behind on your way out the door, and then the mission, the way in which you want to accomplish that, that capitalizes upon your talents and your gifts and who you are, is so important as a guidance factor to keep you on track and not lose touch with who you are. So my vision of the world that I want to leave is I want to help the world get to a place as best I can where we have heaven on earth. And heaven on earth is when each individual soul is being nothing other than its 100% unique self. Because in being its 100% unique self, there is no need for competition. There's no need for power struggle or violence. There is no need for war. There is no need for anything other than being. And in being, each of us, 100% our unique selves, we have achieved heaven on earth. So that is the vision I have of the world that I would like to leave when I leave the earth. My mission, I very clearly state, is I will leave the world a better place than I found it. And every decision I make, everything I do, everything I create must meet that criteria that I feel like it will leave the world a better place than I found it, or I won't put my energy into it.
You're such a special person, Kevin. You really are. And I know that that's just so beautiful to have that vision and to have that mission. And I really see that in the way that you live your life and the way that you love people and the way that you give so much of yourself to people every day and you help people at every turn. You are truly the most caring and creative and profound person that I've ever met. And I'm just so blessed that you are in my life. We have just a couple minutes left, but we do have a caller that's been hanging on, and I would love him just to be able to say hello to you and ask his question if we can before we close out the show. So hold
Absolutely.
On just 1 second. Hi, Hugh. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for bringing me on. I just want to say what a fantastic show, and Nicole, you have truly been a hero in my life. After a near-death experience, I came across you, and after reading your life story, it showed me that you can do anything if you just put your mind to it. So I have a poem, too, that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library. It's a very short poem, and it's sort of the theme of this show. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It's only 3 lines long. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. That poem is on a blog, the word creativity777.com, and in the PDF file, it mentions you, Nicole, in an article, America's New Transformational Economy. There's a copy of a letter from the Carter administration, as well as a copy of a letter from President Obama on that blog. Now, why I'm saying all this is, when I was a young boy, I think it was in kindergarten or something, I was looking out the window at the snowflakes coming down, and my mother got into an argument with the teacher, and that my mother was saying, was he told to do something special? And the teacher said no. As a result of the argument, the teacher put in my school record that I was a moron. And wait until you see what I've accomplished as a moron in my life. And I would love to interact with Dr. Emery if he's into creative utilization of information. There's a lot of power in that.
Absolutely. You, I know who you are, and you should reach out to Dr. Kevin. You both should know one another. And I have to tell you that you know how many countries I have been in, and I have been traveling the world. And every time that I am in Vienna or I am in Istanbul or wherever I am in the world, I could be airdropped in the jungle of Ecuador, and I come back to Society and Life, and there would be a letter that has found its way, even though you wrote it a year ago, or a call that somehow has found me, and your continual support and you follow me, and just knowing that I've been connected to you throughout this journey has been such a gift and such a blessing, and it's such a joy to hear your voice today. And I ask, I know we only have just a couple minutes, but can you read your 3 lines again for us?
Yes, the poem titled Caring, Sharing reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. It sort of sums up what life should be all about. If you contemplate the poem, you'll help someone less fortunate than yourself. When you do that, you're actually blessing yourself. And that's all you ever do, Nicole. And thank you so much for being in my life. God bless you. And God bless you, Dr. Emery, for your work.
Oh, thank you, Hugh.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for joining us today. Wow. That, you know, sometimes people come into your life and they're like the lucky penny. They're the four-leaf clover. And sometimes you'll just pull that penny out of your pocket and you'll say, oh, yes, that's my magic. And Hugh has certainly been one of the people in my life that I know that every time, you know, he's there, and every time I reach and then I realize that he's there, it just makes me feel so wonderful inside. And it's so great to have those people in your life that actually are the center and your sword of truth in all of who you are and what you're trying to do. And certainly, you know, Dr. Kevin, you do that for me. And you're such a blessing. And it's such a joy to have you on the show today. And I truly implore all of the people that are listening to our show today to find you, to hear your poetry, because there could be nothing better in someone's week than to hear your poetry and your vibration and your voice, and to download your ebooks, to get this information. And if you do have a child, a teenager, you are an adult, you know, with anything that we've talked about today, then you know it's a gift. And you know it's magic, and it's something that you should honor and feel wonderful about, and eat the right foods, find the right people to support you, and realize that the rainbow is one of the most beautiful things in the world, and that you are part of all those colors and lights. So, you know, Dr. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us and being with us, and we so look forward to having you back here with us again.
Whenever, just let me know. Thank you for having me.
Well, there couldn't be more my pleasure. I'm beaming from ear to ear just knowing that you're on the other line and your vibration and presence is here with us today, and certainly here on this planet and in this world, making a difference in so many lives around the world. So thank you, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. Wow, what an honor, what a blessing, what a joy. I have to, you know, so many times when we talk about this that I get so excited because I see new science, new technology, a person that's making a change and forging roads and making a difference on the planet and in the world, and I can't wait to pull them on the show and to hear their information. But I don't think I've ever been as excited as I was this morning, because I know that the work that Dr. Kevin does is so extraordinary. And there is nobody that I have ever met that is more generous with his time, with his talent, with his gifts, with his magic, with his ability. He truly, it is his life's mission to help people, and as he said, to leave this world a better place. And when you listen to his mission statement, it's like a bell that rings in your heart. Something changes within you, something awakens within you, and you say, yes, that's right. And we all should be living a life that way, and we all should be making a difference that way. And to have someone stand up and say it and be counted for is so heroic, and it's such a light. I mean, he really is such a lighthouse among all the people. And so I'm, you know, so honored to be working with him and also to call him a friend. So how fabulous. And so it's been a great show, and I so look forward to all of you being back here next week. And again, we have Matt Weinstein coming for Play Fair, and he really knows how to make you have fun. Bringing them on as guests, and certainly they will open today. And then we have Trina coming in, and she's talking about life coaching. We have energy healers coming in, and we have so many wonderful shows lined up for you. And so we're so grateful that you're here with us. We're so excited as we share this new information with you, and certainly today we learned so much about managing the gift. So what did he say? Highly intelligent, highly creative, very justice-oriented. People that think differently. People that take information and they play with it like a child plays with food. They play with knowledge. People that are natural-born rebels that want to make a difference, want to make the world a better place, want to create change,
want to implement something that they know is going to help people on a higher level in a whole new way, wow, that is a magical gift. And so I can't think of anything more special, more beautiful, more wonderful than the information that we shared today. So I thank you for being with me. Tomorrow, don't forget to join us for Hourglass Bride.
To your message, press 2 to your